we did not have air conditioning up at camp. Now they've got it in the cabins themselves. I'm not done yet. Years and years ago, when I went to camp, you weren't allowed to wear shorts. You had to wear jeans the whole time. Some of you remember that. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? It had to be like at least 10 years ago. I mean, long time ago. They've changed some of the rules and stuff just to match along with what's going on and making things comfortable and appropriate. They want as a camp, their goal is to make sure that modesty is involved with everything as well. And so we had pants all the way down. It'd be 100 degrees out. Didn't matter. You go into the chapel and it was hot in the chapel. Those things, they weren't necessarily that fun, some of them. And we had to, guess what? Endure. It'd be 100 degrees out. Here's all these kids running around outside in jeans and t-shirts. And guess what? We had a blast. It was fun. How could you do that when it was so hot? Because we had our minds on the right things. We weren't focused so much on how miserable we were. We were focused more on what the fun was and what a task is. You think about the theme this year, has to do with enduring as a good soldier in Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's where the theme verse comes this year for camp. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now it says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. It says, I am an American soldier. I am a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States and live the Army values. Now you know where that comes from. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient as a warrior, tasks and drills. I always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am an expert and I am a professional. I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemy of the United States of America in close combat. I am a guardian of freedom and the American way of life. I am an American soldier. How many here had to memorize all that? Anybody here have to memorize that? No? The Army, I was looking up because that's part of the camp theme and getting ready for today, and also looking ahead for what camp is going to entail. That's what one of the things they have to memorize is that whole creed that they have in the Army. Some of you may have been in the Army, didn't have to memorize that. Some of you were in other forces and had to memorize those creeds, those mottos that you had there. The rules to live by. And they're there to guide and strengthen your mind and your heart so that way you know what you're supposed to do. It says there that I will always place the mission first. You remember out there, or you can imagine out there in Afghanistan and Iraq or wherever they may be deployed now or in the future or in the past. Or the lions in World War II. Now, you may remember some of those. Some of you here remember reading about it in your history books, right? You weren't there, of course. You remember those things. And you can just imagine what it would be like to be in the trenches. And you have the gunfire overhead. And you have the hardship of the cold, wet weather. And all of a sudden, there it is. You've got a hangnail. And you're concerned about that. And so you go talk to the doctor about it. Next thing you know, you're wondering if maybe you should get a Purple Heart because of it. Doesn't sound like much of a soldier, does it? You know, sometimes as Christians, we behave as that kind of soldier as opposed to the soldier God's called us to be. Look here, it says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now you have there, it says, if you have the King James or New King James, "You therefore must endure." However, it appears that's not what it is. If you have the NIV, what it rather appears that endure hardship as a good you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. Endure hardship with us as a good soldier. Let me show you some of the things that a pastor does in his study. He looks and says, why is there a difference between the one reads and the other? Now, if it's up here and you say, well, that's all Greek to you, you're correct. It is. Except over here is Latin. You look at the word that's boxed out there and it's divided. Now, the first word is "you," and then the next word is "therefore." It can be translated "therefore," not usually. And then the last word there, "endure." Here on the bottom, though, it's all run together. It looks like when a kid did it. And when it's all run together, that first part of the word there, you don't know what they are, that first part of the word there, that means with or together. I believe the second one there is correct. It would come from the older texts. This the top one comes from the 13 or 16 there, Erasmus translation. That's what the King James, the New King James, was primarily based on his translations. When we look at those, now when we look at the last one there, it says to endure hardships with us. I think that's what Paul is indeed saying. It's the older, it'd be closer to the original. I think that's probably the right one. There's not a tremendous difference between what he's saying there. Although, as he says, endure hardship with us, it makes me think about the hardships that he had. We have hardships, don't we? But nobody else understands what we're going through. Well, we can go look at Paul and try to see his hardships. Do you remember the hardships that he had? As a Christian, he had many, many kinds of hardships, difficulties, struggles that he dealt with. Because he was dealing in a world where people did not appreciate Christianity. In fact, it became outlawed a little later than Paul. But leading up to it during Paul's day. As a result, he suffered much. As far as the other religions were concerned, as far as the pagan religions, as far as the Jews themselves, they didn't like Christianity. So when Paul changed over, he received persecution from that. And then during his lifetime, there started to be more and more persecution towards the Christians from the government standpoint. Well, here in America, we don't see that so much, as long as we keep our mouths shut, as long as we're not telling other people how to live their lives and from their perspective. We do face many struggles, though. The word hardships here isn't the word hardships in the sense that enduring persecution. It's the enduring hardships, the hardships of life, the difficult things of life. Think about what kinds of difficult things you have in your life. Paul, the difficult things that he suffered was being shipwrecked. He was one time in the sea overnight and during the day. Not on the boat, but adrift. Probably on some sort of lumber or something. They didn't have life jackets back then. He had other hardships. He talks about them in Philippians. There's times where he didn't have very much to eat. And so he struggled financially. There are times in his life where he did very well. There are times in his life where he was out there and preaching and many were being saved. And there's other times where he was stoned for it. He was beaten for it. Now, talk about a guy with hardships. Now, we don't have those hardships, do we? But we do have hardships nonetheless. Think about the hardships you have. Think about at school. That bunch of teens in the back here, they're all excited about right after church to get things ready for tonight. And the teens back there, they have hardships. You remember being a teen? Well, I can imagine being a teen today. Talk about bullying at school. Making fun of you because what you're wearing or what you're not wearing. I remember back when I was, yes, they had school back then. When I was in school, if I didn't have the word guess on my jeans, more for girls than guys, but still, guys, you had to have designer clothes. You had to have, it was guess is what it was called. And so you had to spend 3 times as much for a pair of pants, so I had a label on it, so people didn't make fun of you. People just made fun of me. We didn't go out and buy those jeans. Or, when I was growing up, the Nikes, the Jordans got popular. You guys think the Michael Jordans are new? They're not. They're old. They're almost as old as I am. And everybody had to have a pair of those. My mom said, over my dead body. We didn't make any plans or anything that way, but why? Because we couldn't afford it. And so what happened? We'd be made fun of. We'd be talked about how we're, you know, not as cool as everybody else. We didn't have many friends, unfortunately. I mean, we were the coolest kids, but nobody else saw it. Well, sometimes that's a hardship. Hardships at school is doing all the work that you got to do at school. Hardships at work has to do with putting up with other people. Has to do with the employer harassing you or being on your case constantly because perhaps of where you stand as a Christian. Perhaps because they just have it in for you. Sometimes I've worked for people or worked around other people that had it in for other people. And so they would do whatever they could to make them look bad. You've got hardships at home. You've got to make ends meet. Not only that, but you've got to keep peace in the family. Not only keep peace in the family, but you, on top of that, you got to duke it out with the neighbor. You know, sometimes life can be hard, isn't it? About your own life, your physical health. Some of you struggle a little bit physically with your health. That's a hardship. But there's all kinds of hardships that we have to endure. Well, guess what you get to do? Here's the answer. Endure it. Tough. Deal with it. I like to tell that with my kids. Deal with it. You're arguing with your, you're fighting with your brother or sister. Take care of it. They'll come tell me. I said, well, I didn't do it. You go take care of it. Now, they know to do it in such a way that they don't get themselves in trouble. Sometimes they still do. But they know better than to go and haul off and hit their brother or sister. I want them to learn how to deal with issues. They've got to learn how to handle other people. Why? Because when you get older, don't you have to handle other people? Yeah. People you disagree with, people that are difficult to get along with sometimes, you have to deal with them. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, when we think about the different hardships that we have, the different trials that we have to deal with, what does it say there? It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It says, let patience, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete or mature, lacking nothing. In other words, the trials that you deal with, the hardships you have to face, guess what? It makes you a better Christian. It does exactly what your dad says it would do. Builds character. You didn't want to hear that, did you? Follow along here. Endurance. Endurance is succeeding despite the distress. When a soldier is out there on the field, he doesn't complain about how hot it is out there in the desert. I mean, he may, but it's not going to help him accomplish a task. If there's gunfire, he's not saying, man, I got to wear all this equipment and it's hot out here. And I got to carry all this and these guns and this ammunition and my meals ready to eat and all that. I got to carry all this. Not only that, but I got to carry somebody else's too because they're carrying the big guns. And so he doesn't go around the field with these bullets whizzing by saying, man, I can't believe I have to do this. Why? Well, one, you'll get him shocked. But he's got a task to do. Just like when we're running around up there in the 100-degree weather wearing our jeans. We had fun to do. It didn't matter how hot it was. Well, in fact, it works so well that if you're having enough fun, you can even pass out from it. Last year, I almost lost 6 kids doing that. It was warm out there, and we were playing on the basketball court. And all of a sudden, a kid would stop and say, oh, I don't feel good. Well, none of them passed out. None of them were seriously harmed or anything that way. But I said, that's it. Get out. You have to go over there under the shade tree, drink lots of water. One girl I asked, I think it was Thursday, I said, well, how much water have you been drinking? It's about 3 glasses. Now, remember, it was hot and dry all last year. I said, about 3 glasses a day is all? No, like for the whole week. I said, well, no wonder you feel lousy. You have to have more than that. You know, the soldier, he will do what he needs to take care of his body, but he's got a mission and a task. As a Christian, we face hardships because of the hardships of life. It might be physical hardships, the financial hardships, our own health, dealing with other people, relational that way. They could be emotional hardships. Something has happened, it just has distressed you. Or you're very nervous about something that's going to happen. And so you feel those hardships. It could be spiritual. Everyone here, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and been saved for very long, ought to know what it is to do spiritual battle, the spiritual hardships. It could be with the temptations of doing something, or the temptation not to do something. It could be just the sense of God not being there. And you know that you've confessed your sins, you've made yourself right before God by confessing your sins and restoring that relationship with Him, but you just, it's almost like you don't feel saved even. Or you just know that things are not right. There's a spiritual battle going on. And it affects us mentally and physically as well as spiritually. And if we have our eyes focused on what's comfortable for us, what entertains us, what keeps us occupied, guess what? We're going to fail. Because we're too busy complaining about, oh, I got to carry all this equipment with me. It's sure hot out here. Boy, I'd sure rather be back at the barracks playing basketball. I'd rather be back there playing on my cell phone. I'd rather do all that than I would out here. So we just walk right off the battlefield. And who wins if all the American soldiers and all the world around us, well, if they decided they're going to quit, we have a volunteer army, if they decide that's it, they're done. Nobody else enlists, so they all come back home, they all get secular jobs. What would happen? We'd be open to raid, we'd be open to defeat. I mean, all that another nation would have to do is send their airplanes over and their boats over, and our military is dissolved. So what's, you know, we would just have to give up. The only thing that could happen is if the people themselves said, wait a minute, I've got a gun, I'm going to defend myself. I've got a pitchfork. We don't have pitchforks, I don't know what you got in the house. I've got a shovel, and try to defend yourself and your nation. When we give up spiritually, we allow Satan to run our lives and ruin it. We must endure the hardships. Endure hardships is succeeding despite the stress, and it requires effort. It requires hard work. Those guys that are out there, when they're out getting ready for the field, have you ever seen what they have to do? Unless we used to have satellite, and I missed the military channel. I remember I watched the one time a series on the Navy SEALs. And it was a SEAL school. And you had to watch what they would do. So they had to do all the push-ups. They had to do all the chin-ups and all the sit-ups and all that. I remember that they were taught to pay attention to detail. They had to go and they had to clean their beds absolutely spotless. And the commanding officer, the trainer, would come in and he would go and there was a penny found on the floor. Because it was not perfect. That penny, because its money had to be in the safe, could not be anywhere else. Because of that housing group had to go out into the square. And in the square, they were doing push-ups. And still doing push-ups. And still doing push-ups. They had to be out there for 2 hours doing push-ups. These big, strong guys, because they're already in the military, they're in special forces now. These big strong guys, their push-ups were going up like this and back down. I mean, that's all. They couldn't get themselves all the way up. They had to hurt and hurt and hurt. Yesterday we had the kids over. We had a big birthday party, a late birthday party, but a birthday party for Ethan. And so we had kids over and we were playing and doing different games and that. And then on top of that, after that was done, worked on repairing the sink. Had a minor leak, but it made a kind of a mess down underneath the sink, and so I was repairing that. And after all that, today I'm a little sore. You know, when you don't do a lot of that, you get sore from doing some of that. So I'm a little sore today. I couldn't imagine what those guys, what kind of pain they were in the next day, having done all those push-ups. Why? Why were they taught to do that? They had to do the effort in order to be the Navy SEALs. And the first day goes, you see these helmets with the company number on them. You see, and the name on them. You see them start to line up. They put their helmet there and ring the bell. They quit. That's what that was. They quit or they were quitted, depending on the circumstance. So they had to take their helmet off, they had to set it there, and they had to ring the bell. And so these helmets are lining up throughout the whole 6 weeks or whatever they were doing for all that. They had to do the effort. You don't do the effort, you won't win in battle. And so they had to make the effort to endure. We have to endure, which requires effort. What kind of effort? Well, it depends what the problem is. If the hardship is a result of our own sin, sometimes that's what hardships are a result of. We've made a bad, unwise decision, sometimes because of that, sometimes because of sin that we have done in our life. And if that's the case, the first step is repentance. Going to God and asking Him to forgive us and to restore us. Along with that, we have to pray. You saw, and we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, you saw in verse 18 that the soldier is to pray with all prayer and supplication for all the saints. You know, where does spiritual warfare take place? I kind of want to freak you out a little bit. in this room, there's a very good possibility that there's a number of demons in here. Not necessarily possessing someone, but observing, whispering to you, telling you, oh, this is boring. Telling you, hey, look, did you see how many mistakes that were made in the bulletin? Did you write down every time the pastor said, Doing things like that to distract you from the message. That's a good possibility. We like to minimize what's going on spiritually. On the other hand, could be twice as many angels in here. Not just you guys, but real angels. We don't see the spiritual world, but we know it's right there. Remember Balaam, when he was going to curse Israel, ended up blessing them because God showed him that there was only one thing Balaam could do. That is exactly what God told him to do. He was going, and his donkey, as they were going through a path, the donkey stopped. And he got mad at it. So he prompted it, and it would not go. Finally, the donkey turned around and said, why are you treating me this way? Now that sounds strange, but you got to remember what kind of God we have. And then it was revealed to him, there was an angel there ready to take his life. The donkey saved his life. God saved his life. He didn't know it. He couldn't see it. The spiritual forces are going on. How do you fight a spiritual battle? You do it spiritually by praying to God. Asking Him to help deliver you. Asking Him for the strength to endure. We need to repent. We need prayer. We might need to partner with somebody, to team up with somebody, to encourage you to endure. It's easy for us to give up and just fall into temptation. It's easy for us to give up and just be discouraged, to give up and say there's no use in it. Why fight anymore? It's too hard. But remember, God gives the strength, and the effort, the endurance takes effort. Those guys, you're watching those shows, those guys, when they're out there working, you look at that and you say, there's no way they can do it. They're looking at it, and you can see by the expression on their face, there's no way they can do it. But they endure. They do it anyway. They psych themselves up. They encourage one another. You hear them yelling at each other. Come on, get going. You can do it. Why? Because that's what they need to encourage themselves to accomplish it in order to do the effort. And doing hardship requires us doing the effort even when we don't feel like it because it's inconvenient or because it's very difficult. Endurance doesn't quit either. Remember what Christ did? Remember the agony that he suffered? The pain that he had? He could have quit at any time. Even at the arrest, when they come to arrest Jesus at the garden, they took him and his disciples, a couple of his disciples were trying to defend him. And he says, wait a minute, don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels? And you know, there's a whole bunch of angels protect me. I mean, this I don't have to do. Remember before that, when he was in the garden and he was praying. Remember his prayer? Lord, not my will, but yours be done. What was his humanly? What did Jesus want? Did he want to face the suffering that he would face in order to pay the penalty you deserve? Not him. You deserve it. No, he didn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to do that. But he wanted to do what the Lord wanted him to do. And that meant enduring. He endured the cross, despising the shame. We we find that the scriptures reveal to us that it is even a joy for him to do it. Why? Because it's fun to get beat up? No. Why? Because when you do God's will, we find there's joy in it. Endurance doesn't quit. He suffered all he had to suffer for you. Well, we know that we're going to deal with hardships. He says, endure hardships with us. Endure hardships as a good soldier of Christ. No one engaged in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. When you're there in the battlefield, you're not concerned about who's going to get the music award or who's going to become mayor of Omaha. Why? Well, when you've got bullets coming by, you kind of have your mind on other things, like staying alive and taking care of the bullets that are coming towards you, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. In other words, a soldier fights in order to please his commanding officers. In the end, if Caesar was considered the commander-in-chief, it would be please him. There's reward for it. When a soldier does a great job, he gets a pin on his, a pin and a medal. I was looking at the army. They've got a lot of pins you can get. It's like collector's items you could get and then maybe trade them with your friends. We used to do that with baseball cards. If you get in the military, you could do it there. It means something though. It says what you've accomplished. Back then they got wreaths on their head and parades. You know what? The things that you do, your goal needs to be worship God, to please him. To see that he is honored by what you do. It says here that the soldier, that he strives to please him. In application, it is God, the one who has called us to salvation. Jesus Christ saved you. Why wouldn't you want to honor him by enduring the hardships of this life? You know, life is hard. If we're honest, life is hard. We have a lot of cushy things. We got cushy chairs that we can watch the big TVs so that way we can be entertained and think everything is all right in life unless we're watching the news. We've got things we can go out in the garage and drive around that are very comfortable. So when we travel, things are good. We've got money in our pocket. So when we get hungry, we can just run down to McDonald's, because McDonald's is better than Burger King, and we can go and buy ourselves a good meal. Why? Because it's a cushy, nice thing we can do. Is that what life is all about? You might be thinking to yourself, no, I got some hardships that I'm dealing with, major hardships. Maybe all those things seem minute compared to maybe what you're dealing with right now. You know what? Maybe you're not dealing with the big hardships of life, but tomorrow, there's going to be a period of time somewhere tomorrow, probably, that you're going to say, boy, this is tough. Maybe it's dealing with something physically. Maybe it's your health or trying to stay on your diet or maybe it's making sure that all the bills are paid or going out and mowing the yard, whatever it is that way. Maybe not major hardships, but the hardships nonetheless. There's big ones and there's little ones, and we all face them. But how are you facing them? Are you enduring them in Christ like a good soldier? We can't do it in and of ourselves. We have to rely on God. We have to rely on his strength. We have to rely on his wisdom. Even as if I go down and enlist for the army, guess what I find out? I'm not me. Their goal is to tear me completely apart in order to rebuild me into a soldier. Everything that I am or would become, I owe to the government. Why? Because they own me. I heard a story about a guy that he was out, they had some leave, and they got sunburned badly. And so because of how bad he was sunburned, he went and reported himself, hoping to get some sympathy, maybe a day off to help heal up. Instead, he got in trouble for destroying government property. Talk about tough. Why? Because they're training them to endure the hardships. Everything hardship that you face, whether it's something that is the result of your sin or your unwise decisions, those hardships build in you a change in your life to keep you away from those things. Maybe it's not something that you've caused, but something that's happened because somebody else has caused it to you, or because that's the way life is. Maybe God has brought it upon you. Guess what? Endure it like a good soldier. We all have hard times. Here, it says, suck it up. That's what it says. Builds character. It's good for you. At the same time, the scriptures report to us the grace of God, who strengthens us when we're weak, gives us His Holy Spirit to guide us, helps us when we're not strong. He's equipped us with His Holy Spirit and His Word, with a spiritual application of His truth and righteousness, of our salvation, of the gospel itself, of faith, and of His Word, that we might follow and serve Him. I want to encourage you, whatever hardships that you're facing now, that you'll endure them well. I want to encourage you, as perhaps right now things are going well, look forward to those hardships. No, not so that way you can laugh and enjoy about them, but look forward to what they will produce in your life. Whether it's now or later, you've got the hardships. And guess what? Rely on God. He'll help you endure hardship like a good soldier of Christ.